The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on May 5th, 1983 in Heidelberg, Germany.
To address you, coming from India here to West Germany. The topic I would like to tell you about is especially the great personality called Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His figure is there in the painting in the center, with the raised arms and the yellow robes. His name Chaitanya means the living force. The living force, as well as the Mahaprabhu means the great master. Actually, every one of us is the living force. And we know that in this body, there is living force. Without living force, without the living energy, this body has no consciousness. If we are to refer to the Bhagavad Gita, then we will find that there it describes, Hridesherajunatishtati, Brahmayam sarvabhutani, yantarudhani mahanyanga. That we are actually situated in the heart. We are the living energy, the living force. And this body is a machine made out of the material nature. So Lord Chaitanya, He has come to give knowledge of the living force. The Vedas describe that from the heart, the consciousness is spread throughout the body. The heart is also part of the machine. The consciousness is subtle. More conscious, more subtle is the living force. So if we did an experiment, we know that if we cut off the circulation by wrapping a tourniquet around our arm, then we'll lose all the consciousness in the hand. That means that this body has no consciousness. The consciousness is being induced through the bloodstream. And the source of the consciousness is a living force. So the science of chemicals, of physical properties, may be very interesting and be very useful. But the most subtle science, which is actually most applicable to each one of us, is to know about the living force. I'm very glad that here in Heidelberg, there's an institute for Vedic studies, so that here people may come to learn about the living force. Because you won't find out about living force in university. You won't find about it in other places. But you can find out here about the science of the living force. So there are different yogis, and they have described this living force in different ways. Some of them describe the living force as a light, as an energy. Some of them describe the living force as being filled with knowledge. Others describe the living force as being filled with qualities and ultimately a personality, which just like different colored glass, allows different colored light to come through. In the same way, the different bodies are like colored glass. They are presenting different types of personality, but there's an original personality behind it all. This is the third viewpoint about the living force. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he actually taught that the living force can be realized in all the three ways. That one can realize the living force as light, as knowledge, as well as a personal form. And that the highest realization is the personal form, because that includes the other two forms. Ultimately, that our minute living force is part of the greater living force, or the supreme living force. That supreme living force we address with the vibration Krishna. Krish means all attractive. Na means the reservoir of all happiness. When you combine the two words together, we get the word Krishna. That means the supreme living force. So, in our meditation or in the activity, Lord Chaitanya, he gave a special gift to the philosophy in India. His gift is that the spiritual realization does not have to be dry. That yoga does not have to be dry. That in the ultimate issue, yoga in its pure realization is actually realizing various type of spiritual emotions. That in the living force, there is another type of emotion which has got no inebriety or misery mixed with it. And that he called it love, pure love. In this world, what we call love would not come up to his definition. In this world, love is always a type of direct reciprocation going through the material senses. But Chaitanya Dev, Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya, he described that love or prema means a complete selfless, and that is completely pure without any mixture of sadness or anxiety, of material misery with it. The Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came with a secret mission. Lord Chaitanya came to actually demonstrate this realization of pure love. And no one in the history of yogis or religionists or anyone has ever exhibited the level of love which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has exhibited. And one unique quality of Chaitanya love is that he is very contagious. Simply by coming in touch with him, others would also become filled with this loving quality. In fact, not only that, but someone who came in touch with Lord Chaitanya would also get this same experience of pure love. That pure love is not dependent upon anything material. Therefore, the great yogis, when they experience that, they find that to be the most fulfilling of all experiences. So just to give some examples, that Lord Chaitanya, when he used to go on his tours to propagate this Krishna consciousness. He used to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, with so many devotees, with so many followers, and they would be playing these cymbals, the drums, and they would create a total mood. And we were describing last night, we read from one of the texts in Bengali language, that how whenever the people would see Lord Chaitanya with his party, they would come forward spontaneously from their houses, and they would just forget about everything, and they would run after the party of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They'd run after some people, they would be filled with desire to offer some respect, so they would start to offer candles or lights made from clarified butter. Some people would be throwing flowers. And what happened was a whole festival was created. Now, I know many of you have been coming here for some time, and some of you are here newly. So in this regard, I'll just have to address those who have been coming here more frequently at this time, that you'll be knowing that this is Krishna with some of his devotees while they're having a festival. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would also have a festival through this chanting of Hare Krishna. And this same type of festival that you see on this side would mentally be experienced by this chanting of Hare Krishna. Now Chaitanya, he only came 500 years ago. In fact, he came 497 years ago. And we're about to observe the 500th anniversary in only 2.5 years. So we're hopeful that you'll all be present for our big celebrations at that time, which will also be held here in Germany and all over the world. So that it wasn't very long ago, it was very recent. Actually, during his time, he had propagated this chanting of Hare Krishna all over India. And today is the main chant or meditation which is common to all. There may be many chants, but this is the common chant for everyone. Chaitanya is the one, Lord Chaitanya is the one who actually gave his chant. So, when Lord Chaitanya, just as an example, when he came, that time Bengal was under Mohammedan rule. You may know from the newspapers, from Iran, from Iraq, from the Lebanon crisis, that the Muslims are very fanatical people. In fact, the ruler of the Muslims, Hussein Shah, at that time, he was famous for destroying temples of Krishna. And he would do so many violent acts against various saintly people. In spite of that, Lord Chaitanya took his party and he went within 3 kilometers of the capital of that Nawab, the Hussein Shah, the Muslim ruler. And with his party, he was doing massive chanting of Hare Krishna. He would chant from the morning to the night. And thousands of people, they would all come to see. And when Lord Chaitanya danced, he would simply become absorbed in that meditation. He would be sometimes jumping, sometimes spinning, sometimes he would be dancing slowly. And he would be manifesting various symptoms of ecstasy, like crying, laughing, even quivering in his body, sometimes fainting, sometimes jumping up, sometimes loudly crying out. And he never stopped. so much energy that even the other people chanting with him, they had to change. They could not keep up the pace. But he would go on from the morning until the night. So some of the leaders of the Hindus, they had a meeting that we should tell Lord Chaitanya to leave this place for his own benefit, that the Nawab, the Hussein Shah, if he knows that Lord Chaitanya is here, he may kill him, he may do anything. He's a very cruel ruler who is very envious against anything to do with any other religion or culture except for Islam. So they sent a messenger to go to tell Lord Chaitanya to leave. That messenger went to see Lord Chaitanya. But Lord Chaitanya's kirtan was going on and on, and he waited for one whole day. There was not a gap to go and tell Lord Chaitanya. Then he went to take his meals, take his rest. Again the next day there was again kirtan. Like this for 3 days, able to say anything to Lord Chaitanya. I'm coming on behalf of all of the leaders of the that we respect Lord Chaitanya, but we are afraid for him. That if he continues to chant Hare Krishna here, so close to the Nawab, the Muslim ruler, there may be some violence, there may be some danger. Ask him to leave. Go somewhere else. He is very unpredictable, this Nawab, this Sultan. So, but even those secretaries, they could not approach Lord Chaitanya. They were just going on, and more and more people were coming. They're coming from miles away, from 10, 15 kilometers they're walking, 30 kilometers they're walking, and literally hundreds of thousands of people, they were congregating. There was a huge crowd to see this festival of chanting Hare Krishna. Even today, at Ramakeli, the place where Lord Chaitanya chanted, even after 490 years, this festival is still being observed, and a minimum of 50,000 people are coming every year. That will be held in the last day of the Bengali month equivalent to May. That's called Joistha. It goes May 15th till June 12th, like that, on the lunar month. So, the crowds are building up. Now some of the secretaries of Lord Chaitanya, the devotees, they became very worried, because that fear had been brought to them by these other people from the ministers, favorable to Lord Chaitanya in the cabinet of the Hussein Shah. So finally Lord Chaitanya could see that some of his devotees were in anxiety. He called them aside. He said, "Why are you having a dark face? Why are you looking so fearful?" He said, "My Lord, we are afraid for you. Why are you afraid for me? We're afraid that you're very close to the Mohammedan ruler, that if anything happens, you think I don't know Lord Chaitanya said? You think I don't know where I am? I'm not afraid, why are you afraid? You should just chant Hare Krishna. There's nothing to fear." Then again Lord Chaitanya, he began his chanting. So in the meantime, naturally the Hussein Shah, he got information that Lord Chaitanya is there, he's chanting. So he did an investigation. How much are the followers of Lord Chaitanya being paid? How none of them are being paid anything? And you try to figure out, you need to analyze what is motivating them. He did this study, unknown to everyone, for over 6 months or a year. Even two of his main ministers, they also left his cabinet and joined Chaitanya Day's movement. They're known as Rupa Sanatan Goswami, the great leaders of the six Goswamis, who have written so many literatures. In German, some of those literatures are also available. That is called the Upadeshamrita and the Nectar of Devotion. See, you may read these works by the ex-minister of the Hussein Shah, who are known as Rupa and Sanatana Goswami. So, one of the people, they approached the Hussein Shah, Lord Chaitanya, he is chanting here so many days. Then the Hussein Shah asked him, who do you think this Lord Chaitanya is? Well, that person said, well, I think he's a saint. He's a beggar, he has no money, he's a saint. He goes here and there singing Hare Krishna. That person was trying to tone it down, afraid that if he said too much, he would get the wrath of the Shah. The Hussein Shah said, no! I did not accept. I think that this Lord Chaitanya is not different from Allah. Or what the Hindus say, Ishwar. Or God. You are astonished. How he's saying this? He's a follower of Islam. How can he say that Lord Chaitanya is the same as Khuda Hafiz? Same as Allah? He saw they were bewildered. He said, yes, it must be. I have studied. I know in my own kingdom, in my empire, everybody is running, why? For money. If I don't pay the salary of my army, my ministers, my spies, if I don't give facility even to my wife, no one will do anything. Everyone will desert me. It is all running on my fear and my money. But I noted that Lord Chaitanya has no army and he has no money. Yet everyone is going after him. Therefore he must be empowered by God. Or must be God. Otherwise, how he can attract everyone? Simply on their feelings. He must be giving them something out of this world. This is my conclusion. Therefore, I order that no one, and you broadcast this throughout my empire, no one should interfere with the movement and with the activities of Lord Chaitanya. It is inconceivable how a fanatical Muslim ruler during the time of Lord Chaitanya could give the order that no one would disturb Chaitanya's activities. This was the type of power that Lord Chaitanya had manifested. After some time, Lord Chaitanya left with his followers, and they were traveling in different parts of the country. Our movement of chanting Hare Krishna in a big group is actually started by Lord Chaitanya. But that doesn't mean that this process of chanting mantras is only 500 years old. Chanting mantras is very, very old. You'll find in the Vedas, there are so many examples of chanting mantras. A mantra is just like fire. If you put your hand in fire, you'll be burned. In the same way, if you chant a mantra properly, somehow or another, if the vibration comes from the mouth, it will have its effect. Therefore, it's not simply some type of artificial process. It's not the imposition on the mind. Because otherwise it would not be possible that even without knowledge, even without practice, even if you're skeptical, even then by chanting, there's also an effect. There were a group of very cynical people who used to criticize Lord Chaitanya's movement. They would be criticized by mimicking. They would say, Hare Krishna, make funny faces and make a funny noise and say, Hare Krishna. And what happened? They couldn't stop thinking about Krishna. They couldn't stop chanting Hare Krishna. They thought that, what is this? Just by chanting, they became more and more prone to chant. Why? Because actually the vibration Hare Krishna is alive. It has its own living force. That is the Supreme Living Force. And if we chant, we can actually experience as we become more and more awakened that chanting is actually alive. And the chanting is with us. But don't take my word for it. You may experiment. You may try chanting. And experience that what change comes in your life. Actually what happens is that the identification that we're the body, which is so, which is the cause of all our problems, that is gradually purified, and we are able to realize that we are the living force. And the natural happiness of the living force in relation with Krishna is manifested. So, there are, of course, many examples of this. First I would like to give examples about chanting. That one time there was a thief. His name was Dasu Ratnakar. And he used to rob people to maintain his family. He had a wife, two children, mother and father. Were very old mother and father. He was the only earning member in the family. So he would regularly go and rob people. Sometimes he would kill them. And he would take their wealth. So one of the great spiritual masters in our line of spiritual masters is called Narad Muni. He is possessing all the mystic powers of yoga, and at will he can travel by the fastest, he can travel anywhere at will. So this Narad Muni, he happened to be in such a place that this thief saw him, and he was ready to attack him. He said, "All right, give me your wealth." Narada Muni said, "Well, you actually only had this Nampura." He said, "I'm not having anything except this," and he played his musical instrument. That had a great effect on the thief. The thief said, "Never mind. Give me whatever wealth you have. You must have something." So Narada said, "I'll give you my wealth, but you must tell me that who are you stealing for?" "And I'm stealing what? I'm stealing for myself and for my wife and my children and my old invalid mother and father." "So you know that by stealing and by killing you're getting many bad karmas? That for every action we do, there's a reaction. That action again will come back to us. If we cause pain to others, that pain will come back to us. If we make others happy, that happiness will come back to us. So you're creating so much pain for others that who is going to share that pain when it comes back on you and by the law of karma?" So then he said, "Well, naturally my wife, my children, they all share. They're all also benefiting by this. They all take a share." So the Lord said, "I give my word, I'll wait here. You ask them and ask who will take the share." So then he went, that Dastu Ratnakar, the thief, the robber, he went back to his cave. And first he approached his old mother and father and requested them, that, "My dear mother and father, I met a great saint on the way and he explained to me about karma, that for all the murders, killing, robbery that I've done, that I have to get the reaction in the future. But I've been doing all this to maintain you. You're my beloved parent. So I wanted to just ask you that you also take some share, a percentage of the reaction." They said, "What? But now you're very old. We're going to die any minute. You want to send us to hell at our last age? We tried to raise you up to be a good boy, but you took this path. You could have got some other occupation. Don't hold us responsible. We've already done enough for you. We're not saying that you have to do this. Don't put us in difficulty at our last leg of life." So he was a bit disturbed that his mother and father, they wouldn't take any share. So then he went to his children, that, "My dear children, I'm feeding you, I'm clothing you, I'm providing you everything in life. But surely you will take a share of the reaction for all the activities that I'm doing. Just as you're taking a share of the wealth I'm bringing." They said, "We're your children. We didn't ask to be your children. You could have been a businessman or something. We didn't ask to be are your children. Somehow we took birth in your family. We're forced to eat whatever you give us. We can't be held responsible for all the other things you do. We're this young. Don't ruin the future of our life by giving us these reactions. They refuse to take any of the karma. So this time, that robber, he was very disturbed. And nobody is taking any reaction. Now he went to his beloved wife. My sweetheart. My companion through life. You have heard the discussions. Through thick and thin, happiness and distress, we are always together. So surely you will be taking half of all of the bad karma that I have accrued, murdering, killing everything to maintain the family. What do you mean? You don't give me any good clothing? We don't get to go out and out in society. We're always hiding in the cave. I have to raise the children. I have to do the cooking. I have to do everything for you, wash your clothes. And now you want me to take your karma? No, I won't do it. Nothing going. So he was completely shocked. Nobody would take any karma. He was robbing, stealing, he was killing. And only he was giving everything to them. But they wouldn't take one bit of the responsibility. So he came back to Narada Muni, the great master. He was shook. What you said is true. Nobody would take any of the karma for all the work I was doing. What should I do? How can I get freed from the karma? So then Narada Muni told them, you should chant the name of Rav. You should chant the name of the transcendental name. He said, no, I can't say any names like that. I have no habit to say anything pious or anything good. It's not my nature. I can say kill. I can say rah. I can say swear words. All these holy words, I can't say that. It doesn't come even in my mind. So then Narada Muni told him, alright, so you chant the word Mara. In Sanskrit, Mara, Ma-ra, means to kill, or to attack, to beat. Mara. He said, yes, I can chant Mara. This is my nature. I've been doing this all along. Murder, kill. Yes, so you chant Mara, Mara, Mara. You go on chanting that. So then he sat down and he started to chant. Mara, 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 Rama, Rama, Rama. Mara, Mara, when you chant together, it comes Ram, 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 Ram. Ma, Ra, Ma, Ra, Ma. After the first syllable, it's Ram, 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 Ram. So in this way, even he wasn't thinking of Ram. Wasn't thinking of the vibration as being anything holy. He was thinking only murder, murder. But he was saying the vibration. After some time, he was able to actually see the complete spiritual realization. He was able to see his self. He became completely freed from all the karmic reactions. And he was able to see the whole pastime of Rama, the incarnation of Godhead, and he wrote down the book called Ramayana, which is celebrated all over India as the most sacred text on yoga and on various spiritual matters. But so he became later completely changed. He became known as Valmiki Muni, the great sage Valmiki, just by chanting the vibration Ram, even if it was in an indirect way. Like this, there are many examples of people chanting these vibrations. But they would normally chant individually or in a small group. But the same chanting is there. What Chaitanya, Lord Chaitanya has introduced is the chanting in a very big group. In Calcutta we have sometimes up to 1 million people chanting together at one time for the big festival. That vibration is just incredible. Anyway, we would request all of you, either alone by yourself, or in a small group, or come here together for this function, try chanting this vibration, Hare Krishna. It will protect you from so many dangers. It will help you to understand the philosophy of the given in Bhagavad Gita. And it will also actually give you an experience of the happiness which is coming from directly from the living force, which is beyond the body. We don't deny the body. Because we say the body is a machine, that doesn't mean we deny it. We take care of it, we clean it, we give it all the essentials. But we experience happiness which is even beyond the happiness of the body. That is the sublime contribution of Lord Chaitanya. That is the purpose of human life. To experience what goes beyond the body. In the animal life, they cannot experience beyond the body. But human life, they can experience the body, and beyond the body, beyond the mind, they can, a human being can experience the living force, can experience Krishna, the supreme living force. Chaitanas chaitananam, nityas nityanam. Said that to Chaitanas. There are many living forces in the world. And there's one chaitananam. There's one supreme living force. Nitya. All the living forces are eternal. They're indestructible. And there's one supreme, Nityana, indestructible living force, who is above all. So that realization is the goal of yoga. This process is called Bhakti Yoga, or yoga through the process of loving devotion, through the process of spiritual practices, through hearing, chanting, remembering, through offering various composed prayers and the words, through worship, through service, through friendship, and through surrender. These are the nine practices of Bhakti Yoga.